This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade, and it's always a great day to be saving energy, to talk about technology and sustainability. I'm Tim Echols, your host of Energy Matters. In the studio with me, as always, my co-host, John Newell. John, how's it going?
Excellent, sir.
And we've got Dr. Jackie Tidwell with us back for an episode. We're going to talk today about the Georgia Environmental Conference. And folks, you know, may or may not have heard about it. I mean, it sounds like something that it is just talking about, you know, solar or wind power or some of the other things that we talk about on the show. But really, half of this conference is dedicated to mitigating and remediating issues that have happened out there.
Right.
You know, whether it's fuel tanks or whether it's some Superfund site or a brownfield site. And so the environmental conference, which is held every year now at the Jekyll Island Convention Center, is going to be something we're going to talk about today. John, later in the show today, we're going to have Ben Carswell, who's actually the sustainability director for Jekyll Island.
Yes.
And he's going to kind of give us an update on that. But John, you and I were at this conference.
Loved it.
Yeah, we did a lot of interviews of various folks around.
And I don't know about you, but I got invited to speak, Tim. Were you invited to speak?
I did a pre-conference leadership panel.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Okay.
But there was only like 9 or 10 people in the room.
We filled the room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On the subject of, drumroll, sustainability.
Yeah. Well, give us a
sustainability
thumbnail.
Things.
The thumbnail sketch of the session you did.
There were two speakers, and supposedly it was entitled Sustainability Game Changers. Don't know that I'm a game changer, but what I did is I took on 10 top issues that I see in the sustainability field, and I hit number one, battery storage and the evolution of batteries. I just really attacked all these things that you and I talk about a lot, we talk about on the show, and just ran them down for people, and at the end, we took questions. It was really exciting.
Yeah, and I was sitting there in the front row listening.
You were? You had to endure all my barbs at the utility company and PSC. But in reality, what I also illustrated was there has been this evolution and this growth in solar, and you and the PSC are to be thanked in large part for that.
Yeah, we made a lot of progress in this, and folks are going to be seeing this across Georgia over the next 4 years. Dr. Tidwell, you recently submitted a journal article. You teach at UGA and do research. Tell us a little bit about this article that you submitted and what some of the findings were.
Yeah, so we have taken the known solar installations here in the state of Georgia, and we were looking to see what counties, their different qualities, where we see more adoption of the different types. And recently there was a different article from some folks out in California who looked at things on the census tract level. Now, mind you, here in Georgia, we don't make decisions on the census tract level. We make it on the county and sometimes the city level. And so what we did was we aggregated, so we added up all together the solar installations of the different counties. We looked at it with regard to, was it majority white or African-American or no racial majority? And what we found was interesting. The folks in California said, yep, there are a huge amount of issues of racial disparity. So in other words, there are far fewer solar installations. They presumed, because guess what? Their data didn't even look at rural places. And in particular, it didn't even look at a lot of places in Georgia.
Typical California.
Really. And so what they said was, yes, there are issues of racial disparity. There are inequities in place. And what we did when we looked at it, what we found was that for residential solar, that's not the case here in Georgia, surprisingly. What is present is this urban-rural divide. We see far more solar installations in the city, far fewer as we get out into these rural communities. Where we did see issues of racial disparity and differences of access was with regard to more of that medium-scale, non-residential, not utility solar. And we see most of those in majority white urban counties. So it was a pretty interesting finding to see for a place like Georgia that, you know, is on the rise with regard to solar adoption. So there are some opportunities there for our non-white urban and rural counties across the state.
Yeah, so I know that down on Jekyll Island at the conference, there's a hotel that you guys had done solar thermal on.
Years ago, we did the very first large-scale solar thermal project on a hotel. If you go to Jekyll Island and stay at the Hampton Inn on Jekyll Island, well, in the summertime, half of it is juiced up by free hot water from the sun, from those solar panels on the roof. All the kind of stuff you just go, well, why didn't everybody do that? Because we should be doing it, but we're not.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are immune from shiny objects and trends.
Though I do love a shiny object.
Yeah, and the thing is, solar thermal is not a shiny object.
No, it's not. Yeah. I know.
And it's
complicated, and it involves pipes.
You know, I put it on my house in 2009 in Winterville, Georgia, not too far from where we record this show, and it was $6,300. I got a federal and a state tax credit. I had to stand in line to get it. But, you know, it served us well. I mean, I had seven children, so we had to put an extra two panels on, right, to be
right.
able to handle my crowd. but I've really scratched my head over the last 10 years at why we're not seeing more solar thermal, you know, at chicken processing plants, at hotels, at college dormitories, any place that's really hot water intensive.
That's exactly right. And fortunately, we're not. But the opportunity is there. The sun's always going to shine. Solar PV keeps coming down in price. Thermal, there's new technologies. The opportunities are existing, and us talking about it, and the federal tax credits that still exist, we ought to be all thinking about that. So pick up the phone and call somebody that does some of these things and start looking into it on the internet and think about doing it. That's what I would encourage people.
You know, back to the conference, the Georgia Environmental Conference, David Mook and the Centergy Group put this on every year. And the thing I love about this conference, John, is apolitical. It really doesn't get into calling names. I don't think the president's name was mentioned one time during the conference.
No, wanted to once or twice in my presentation, but I didn't, you know, in deference to you.
Really. Yeah, well, that's the thing I like about the conference. It is, you know, I'm always learning something new and hearing about best practices.
Yep.
And probably the most important thing is that the entire sustainability brain trust is at this event.
Right.
And they're coming through
this
event.
There was a guy there that was talking about a new recycling technology I'd never heard of that essentially that remediates a lot of waste. It's been EPA approved and so it can essentially generate energy through a waste-to-energy system without emissions. And I was like, holy moly, I need to do that. It's been microed into a cruise ship, as a matter of fact, that really needs to deal with trash. So things like that, technology like that, I was the last speaker of the last day, and I happened to stick around for it, and I'm glad I did. So there's a lot of technologies like that that we need to be aware of to help address a lot of problems we have.
You know, speaking of cruise ship, I had a chance to go on a cruise this summer celebrating the 25th anniversary of the nonprofit I created, Teen Pack. And this was a Royal Caribbean ship. And what I didn't know about cruise ship sustainability was, one, that they desalinate their own water.
Holy mackerel, I didn't know that. Okay.
For the entire vessel. And that
That's
all the
amazing.
Leftover food, which they have quite a bit of, because they have all those buffets, all the leftover food,
shark food,
goes into a digester.
Whoa!
And then is cleaned, you know, and then released back out into the ocean. But they use the heat off of that, right, to heat hot water.
Yes.
Off of burning the food. Been on a cruise, Dr. Tidwell?
Yes, unfortunately, I don't get along well with cruise ships. I get a little seasick, but they are very fascinating from the sustainability point of view about how they manage that entire ecosystem.
It is its own ecosystem. It's its own city.
They're very resilient at the end of the day.
Yeah, I like it.
Absent
all the kids, I'm good.
Yeah, maybe we can get a Royal Caribbean executive or employee to come on our show sometime and talk about cruise ship sustainability. Well, as we kind of wrap up this
or live broadcast
segment, we could do something, a live remote from Mariner of the Seas or something.
There's a write-off there somewhere. I'm just seeing it.
Yeah. Thinking about the Georgia Environmental Conference at Jekyll Island, John, is something I go to. It's a must-go-to conference every year for me. As you think about, the importance of, improving your knowledge and, and growing in your, basically, sustainability index or whatever. I mean, this is an important event for you, too.
And little things like this fellow at the end and like this young woman, Margaret Kilpatrick, an undergraduate student at Georgia Southern University, got an award for, get ready for this, the investigation of noise, vibrations, and emissions from the combustion of synthetic kerosene in an aerospace gas turbine. What does that mean? Basically, she's saying we can burn clean fuels in gas turbines, meaning turbines to power planes, and they're doing this whole study of this in Georgia Southern University. Unbelievable. This young woman was as bright as they come, got a big award for this. I'm staring at a picture of she and I standing in front of this large billboard with all these charts and graphs. This is what you find at a conference like this. Innovative thinking from young people, not just old farts like you and me.
And we've got, they had a number of graduate students with, is that what you call it, poster sessions?
Yes.
Poster sessions, Dr. Tidwell. So, well, look, it's been great having both of you in this segment as we talk about Georgia Environmental Conference. And we're going to spend a couple of segments in this show doing some on-the-road segments and some interviews from some of the guests.
We'll post
there
a picture of Ms. Kilpatrick on the Energy Matters.
Sounds great. You're listening to Energy Matters. I'm Tim Eccles.
Energy Matters would like to thank Gas South for its support of the show. Gas South has a no-deposit policy and offers some of the lowest per-therm rates in the state. Use the promo code MATTERS for a special deal. Gas South, the difference is good.
The electric car revolution is coming, and the choices are growing. GEM cars are everywhere. You've seen these low-speed electric vehicles on college campuses, downtown Atlanta streets, and resort islands like St. Simons and Jekyll. GEM cars are street legal, equipped with seatbelts, headlights, and a tag, and can operate on roads with speed limits of 35 miles per hour or less. If you want to know more about these electric cars and trucks, six-passenger shuttles, mobile repair service, or full vehicle wraps, go to GEMCarService.com. That's GEMCarService.com.
John, one of our sponsors for the show, Rowe Insulating Company, is doing a great job in and around Athens, being able to do a lot of what we talk about every single week on the show.
Every time it gets cold, every time it gets hot, it's always that attic that's the problem. And you could attack windows, and that's going to cost you a cold fortune. It is insulation that can solve the problem.
Hey, if you want to get this fixed, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Rowe.
We interrupt this episode of Energy Matters to take you outdoors.
On the road again.
Hey, this is Tim Eccles with Energy Matters, and we've got a great on the road segment here with Angelica Couch, Representative Couch. Hey, how does it feel to be a state representative?
It is quite a ride. This is my first term, and I'm loving the learning experience. That's why I'm here at the Georgia Environmental Conference in Jekyll Island, because I love learning new things and how we can them apply in our state. I like to see how we do things differently, for example, from my home country or my former home country, Germany. So so far it's been a great ride.
Yeah, so listeners, you can hear that German accent, and Representative Kausch is from Germany. We've been talking off air about the German grid and comparing it with the Georgia grid. We talk a lot about energy on our show, and that's what we do, is really help people to save money on their utility bill, to use technology wisely, and to be more sustainable. And we were talking about Germans and how they are raised to be green. Talk to me a little bit about the atmosphere in Germany and how people wind up really being so environmentally conscious.
Well, Germans like to be very thrifty, and I think that is just in part they were always like this, and it really after the end of the war they really had to live with really little things or little means. They had little means to do anything. And then I'm from the generation where green politics really became popular in Germany. I mean, the Green Party was a big thing when I was like 16, 17 years old. So from then on, green politics became really something we started to apply at home, and started applying at home the German way, which is sometimes a little bit tenacious. Like I always say Germans like to overdo things a little bit because they are very serious about one example is, for example, if we talk about energy, like you wouldn't find a house in Germany where not every light is now LED. People constantly turn off the light because the rooms are very dark because we cannot use the energy. One reason is because energy is very expensive, but also because you would not have light in a room you don't use just for decorative reason or to make the room. You just don't do that. You make sure that you're very efficient. You only use energy where you actually need it at the moment.
I noticed in Germany, and I've taken multiple trips there, but every time I go there, I do have to take my jacket off indoors because it is a little warm. And they're not using air condition. Maybe the buildings have it, maybe they don't, but they don't seem to be using it. And maybe it's because their power bills are about three times what ours is. I don't know, but have you noticed that it is a little hotter in German buildings?
Well, first of all, German is much more northern than, for example, Georgia. And when I grew up, you really didn't need air conditioning because you had a few weeks in summer where it was really hot. But then you just opened the windows and may use some fans. I know from this summer, from talking to family members, that the climate is changing in Germany, and they had some really, really hot summers, and they actually do not have air conditioning. So they're just starting to get some of these little air conditioning boxes and using them in their homes. I remember I was actually myself, when I first came to the U.S., we were kind of like smiling at the Americans because you are outside, it's really hot, and then you go inside and you have to wear a jacket, and thought like, that's a really waste of energy. You should adjust your clothing to what the temperature is, and then you don't you save energy or conserve energy. So, I think that is actually changing in Germany now, because especially in the southern parts of Germany, it becomes a real issue for people, especially for sick people, older people who are suffering from the heat. So Germans have to change, and that's very hard for them because usually Germans don't like change.
You know, I noticed when I was over there that Germans weren't that excited about electric cars, that they were very involved, obviously, with, you've got BMW and Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi, all these great manufacturers. But you commented to me earlier that it's because they want to do it right, that they've been a little bit slower. And so you commented to me that you know, that Germany was late to the electric car market, but that they will get there and they will have a superior product. Can you kind of recount that for our listeners?
Yes, first of all, I have to say I moved to the U.S. in 1997, so I go back to Germany, but I actually do not have a perfect market oversight about the car industry in Germany, just as a disclaimer. But I know that they are slowly coming into the electric car market, and probably not as quickly as our Japanese colleagues are doing it, or Korean colleagues. But I'm looking at what Germans always did, and especially in their being inventors and really loving cars. Germans love their cars. I would assume that they are probably behind doors really working on very sophisticated solutions and will come out with a very sophisticated electric car product that is feasible for the masses as well. It might be a little later than some others, but it will be a superior product. I'm almost sure about it.
You know, I think there were there were three things that I noticed that caused me to be skeptical about Germans getting into the electric car business. One, you've got the Autobahn, right? And Germans, I guess a lot of Germans enjoy that Autobahn, and the fact that you can drive in many places, you know, very fast. That's one. Number two, they seem to like to change gears, and electric cars don't have a transmission, so you're changing gears, and the fun of pushing the clutch in and changing gears, they won't have that with electric car. And number three is they build things to last, and so if a German buys a BMW or a Mercedes, they're not planning on trading that car in 2 years or 4 years. That car is actually designed to run for a very long time, and so I think the rollout for electric vehicle adoption in Germany, it just seems like it would be slower because of all those factors. What do you think?
Yes, that's probably true. Another factor is that Germany has an outstanding public transit system, so the need for having a car is much less there. So everybody who doesn't want to have a car has alternatives. The other thing is, yes, Germans like to drive their stick shifts. And it kind of amuses me because every time I go over there and rent a car, I have to drive the stick shift again. And the first couple of months is, I can't forget to shift. And it is just ingrained in Germans that it's the better way of driving. It's more sporty. You can drive faster on the Autobahn, which is all actually not true. But it will be a generational shift especially because Germans love to be the green driving force in Europe. And I think based on that, especially the younger generation, there will come the demand that they would like to have electric cars. They will just have a different solution that fits the German market, which is totally different from the U.S. market.
I met with a number of utility officials and government ministers, leaders, and they're going to close all their nuclear power plants by 2022, but yet they're going to leave all the coal plants open until 2038. And I was a little confused, and I said, well, it seems like if you're concerned about the climate and the environment, that you would close the polluting plants first and leave the carbon-free nuclear power plants running later. And they said, no, we don't want any more nuclear power. We're united. We're going to close it. And I just still can't quite understand that. Can you give me a peek into the German psyche on why that coal would be okay and why they would want to close the nuclear power plants? I mean, what's your best guess on that?
And I have to say it's a guess because this is really not my expertise. I'm pretty sure they are very knowledgeable people who can give you a better answer. My guess is that it's a factor of psychological fear. Germany was very close to Chernobyl, and after that, the fear of any nuclear accident really was a big fear and still is in Germany. I was fortunate enough, I actually was in the U.S. when it happened in 1985. But it's also the risk of transporting nuclear waste, which would have to be transported somewhere through Germany to a feasible storage place. That is a big risk Germans don't want to take. So I think it is are reasonable Germans able to do a proper risk assessment between the unlikely event that something happens in a nuclear plant or during a nuclear waste transport compared to the constant emission that a power plant, coal power plant does. I don't think the average person really sees it that way. The other thing is Germany is a strong union country, and the unions still have a lot of power. And that may be another factor why they decided to phase out coal much later than nuclear power.
I do think jobs has something to do with it, and the constituencies that both the mining interest and the plants represent. Just in our last few seconds here, what do you hope to accomplish in the legislature this next session?
Oh, the next session is going to be very interesting. I will hope that I will contribute more knowledgeably in the Natural Environment and Resource Committee, of which I'm a member. That's why I'm here, that we really move forward and can drive Georgia to gradually accept or adopt some more green policies. And then I just hope to learn more and get a better feeling of how the state legislator works. This is still all very new to me, and that's pretty much it.
Well, best of luck to you. This has been Energy Matters on the Road. I'm Tim Eccles, your host.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Creative Solar USA is a Georgia-based turnkey installer of innovative solar panel systems. They're dedicated to energy solutions for both your home and business. With their NABCEP certified installers, they ensure their clients receive the highest quality of solar energy systems in the industry. Contact CSUSA today at 770-485-7438 or go to creativesolarusa.com.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment.
This half hour of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment. Energy and Environment's commercial, industrial, and government efficiency contracting services lower utility bills for their customers. And we talk a lot about that on Energy Matters. They specialize in custom lighting, retrofit solutions, and a lot of other stuff. Energy and Environment brings over 20 years of experience to your place of work. See what they can do for you at Energy and Environment. Spell out the word energyandenvironment.com. I got Logan Booker, my producer, in the studio. Logan, I have a chance to talk to a lot of people about electric vehicles and really all things alternative fuel. And coming up in just a second is an interview I actually did with a guy while I was getting my car charged at the Georgia Power Station in Athens over behind their building, a guy named Donovan, who was driving an identical Bolt. But you've seen all these electric cars around town, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. They're something I'm intrigued by. Honestly, don't know much about, but yeah, they're fascinating.
You know, they've really gotten a whole lot better. When I took office in 2011, there were four cars that had a plug that you could plug in. Today, there's 48 of them.
Is so that
that's
right?
That's a 12x increase. So you see where things are going with this. And this Chevy Bolt that I've been driving, it goes about 250 miles, which, man, back when I had that Nissan Leaf, that thing on a good day would get 90. So you're talking about boosting your range from 90 to 258. That is a huge comfort level of difference.
When you charge your car, how long does it take to actually go from, say, an empty fuel cell to a full fuel cell?
Yeah, if you have a small fuel cell like a Nissan Leaf, it only takes you about 25 minutes. But the bigger the fuel cell you have, the longer that it takes on the same size charger. So that the Bolt, where I wind up interviewing Donovan at, took me about an hour to charge. So that's a pretty long time. That's a long, leisurely meal if you happen to stop at a restaurant. For me, I park there, interview Donovan, I walk down to Dunkin' Donuts, walk back, you know, and by then I had the charge I needed. So it's really cool. Take a listen to Donovan and some of the stuff that he's doing with this energy drink that he has, and we're passing the energy drink around to everybody in the studio for them to kind of taste it and see what they think. I'm not a big energy drink guy. I'm a coffee guy, but hey, I'm going to try his energy drink and see if it works. So enjoy the interview.
We interrupt this episode of Energy Matters to take you outdoors.
On the road again.
Hey, this is Commissioner Eccles with Energy Matters on the Road, and I am here with Donovan, actually at a Georgia Power fast charger in Athens, Georgia. He works for Yerba Mate. What is Yerba Mate?
Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated herb from South America. It has the effects of caffeine, but without the negative aspects of the caffeine, as such as the jitters and the downside. And it is a natural herb, and we are basically here trying to push an alternative for caffeine, and it has 15 vitamins and minerals and 24 amino acids.
Well, I'm talking to you because you're driving a Chevy Bolt, an electric vehicle, and we promote electric vehicles on our show, Energy Matters. Let me ask you, why is yerba mate being carted around in a Chevy Bolt?
Because we want to give back to the environment. We want to basically bring down the emissions. We want to regenerate our energy, just like our drinks, just like regenerating the lives of people who have been disenfranchised, and we're trying to give back.
So you told me you're going to be driving this car to Birmingham tomorrow. How does the Bolt perform for you out there on the highway?
It performs excellent. I can get up to 300 miles on a charge. The fast charge is awesome. In 1 hour, I can get about 180 miles of charge. And the car is efficient, has a lot of torque. It's a very, very good car. Handles well.
I'm going to take a picture of you in your car and put it on our Twitter feed, Matters Radio, for those to be able to see the car. So when you decided to get the car, what were some of the questions that you asked and you thought about and evaluated, because you're traveling on the road a lot?
The company is about durability. That's important. We want something that is regenerative, good on mileage, all right, good range, and also be able to handle the load of maybe average of about 70 to 100 cases of our drinks.
Well, I see bottles and I see cans, and you've given me a couple, and we're gonna pass them around the studio and see if it'll wake up some of our hosts, because we have an early morning show. So is there any recommendations on drinking this beverage, with ice, without, lukewarm? What do you suggest?
I prefer chilled. Okay, I don't prefer ice. I like mine chilled, and it can be drunk anytime. It's a caffeine alternative. Okay, it's natural. It is caffeine, but it's an alternative to coffee. So you can drink it whenever it is that you feel like you want a little boost. You can drink it in the morning, evening, or some people drink it after 6.
You know, my co-host John Noel and a lot of other people in this state, they say I don't really need any additional caffeine because of I guess my energy. I'm known at the commission as the Energizer Bunny. So why should I be drinking yerba mate?
You need to be drinking yerba mate because of the vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids and the proteins and the natural component. All right? We are 100% organic. Everything is organic. It doesn't overpower you with a whole lot of flavor like how these artificial things go. If you're going to drink something healthy, man. That's it.
Well, let me ask you a couple more questions about sustainability. And we promote energy efficiency on our show. We promote doing things like insulation in your attic and making sure your home is very tight. Are there things that you guys have talked about at your company or things that you've done in your own personal life in order to conserve or to save energy or to be a better steward?
Yes. Adopting an electric car is one of the first things that we're doing. Okay? The energy efficiency of the car, the emissions, you know, and I know that with all the changes going on, the air that we breathe, we're trying also to be as conservative as we can in even the driving of the vehicle. You know, we try to make sure that we are efficient in how we route, how we pack, and how we drive.
You know, we talk about how EVs teach you about the value of energy.
Yes.
This is something that I've said all along, that if low-income folks in our state understood, and really this goes for anybody, but especially folks that have a little bit tighter budget and a little bit less cash flow, if they understood, and they can get this knowledge through going on the Georgia Power prepay app, because you're constantly getting text messages about your balance, in the same way you and I are looking at our Bolt, in terms of the dashboard and seeing how many more miles that we can drive. Do you find yourself now thinking more about energy and more about efficiency now that you drive an electric car than before you did?
Yes, I do, sir. And I tell you this, I don't even drive with the AC on, all right, because I'm trying to conserve energy. I don't accelerate hard, okay, and I drive it on the regenerative mode where when you slow down, naturally it powers the battery. So just because of I know the worth and the time that it takes to regenerate this car and charge the battery, I drive very conservative. I drive below the speed limit, to be honest with you. So yes, it has it's shown me in a more worldly way the reality of conserving energy.
We often joke on the radio show about how inconvenient it is to drive an electric car because you have to kind of plan things out, and yes, you drive slow and you don't run the air condition, and I do all that. I understand that. Nothing wrong with it, but it's just one of the things that you learn from driving an EV. What else has driving in an EV taught you, or how has it impacted your interaction with people?
Well, first and foremost, that's a great question, sir. A lot of people out here, they want to be a part of the movement. They want to save the earth. They want to regenerate the earth. They want to bring about a positive change in the environment. And when they see that you're on board and that you're taking small steps or medium steps or even giant steps, you meet people just as I met you. The car is a seller. It's not me. You are attracted to this car. And look, we're bonding now. So this thing has opened up a lot of doors for networking. Even Mr. Epstein, once I mentioned the name, hey, you know Mr. Epstein. So it is phenomenal keychain. Okay, once I put the keychain on, everybody knows it. Okay.
BMW, who Steve Epstein worked for, is one of our show sponsors, mm-hmm. and Mohsen is the seller of more used electric vehicles down in Union City, which you'll probably drive past going to Alabama. He's the seller of more used electric cars than any dealer in town. So we're really excited that you met Steve, because he is an EV evangelist, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And we've been playing phone tag. I have to get back with him, but I'm definitely going to call him within the next 2 days just to let him know that our interaction and what have you. Yes, I'm glad. I'm meeting all type of interesting individual since I've gotten the Chevy Bolt.
And I don't know if it'll surprise you, and I'm putting you on the spot here, in part really to kind of gig my co-host, John Noel, who's a staunch Democrat and a very left-leaning guy. Would it surprise you if I told you that I'm a Republican, that I have 7 children, that I've homeschooled my kids, and that I'm driving an electric car?
I'd be very surprised. I'm very surprised at that, but I'm impressed too. Okay, and that's one of the beauties of meeting people. It doesn't matter how you meet them. It's important that we meet, that we talk. And one of the things that was said before by a Democrat, once we start to talk, we're going to realize that we have more things that bring us together than things that separate us.
That's right. We're going to leave it at that. That is a great thought. And folks, let's just be nicer out here. Let's get to know our neighbors and see how we can bless other people. This is Tim Echols, and this is Energy Matters on the Road.
Tim Echols here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over Georgia. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. The folks there understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work, from tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation. They'll unpack it all. They've been in business for over 25 years. To find out more, go to solarsunworld.com. That's solarsunworld.com.
Hey, it's Commissioner Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters. I want to tell you about Kevin Rowe and Rowe Insulating Company. If you need insulation anywhere within 60 miles of Athens, Georgia, you need to call 706-795-2854. It's important, isn't it, John?
It is the most important thing you can do in your house.
It's the low-hanging fruit of everything that we talk about on Energy
right.
Matters every single week.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Get comfortable. Support for Energy Matters is provided by Velo Solar, founded in 2007 by Mark Bell and Chuck Clark. Over the years, Velo has designed, engineered, and built medium to large-scale solar projects all over the country. For more, click velosolar.com. We appreciate their support of Energy Matters. We sure do. And I want to wrap up this show asking Tim, we'll turn the tables on you a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I would like to, we got a few questions that Jackie and I have cooked up over here, maybe to grill you, I mean to question you with. And maybe Jackie, why don't you just head off there?
Sure. We'll start. And I guess I'll be a little nice, Tim, and ask you a bit about solar.
Okay.
So when you took office in 2010, Georgia was ranked 34th in solar power. And now here we are 9 years later, and the state is 10th in the nation, 10th, 34th to 10th in approved solar. What specifically have you done to change that statistic?
Yep.
You know, I don't know that anything necessarily can be credited to me, but I know that my solar story began, you know, as we talked about earlier, in Winterville, putting solar thermal on my house. And that really began in a master's course that I had at the Grady College, where we were assigned a company to do a PR campaign for. And it was Power Partners, mm-hmm. and their solar thermal
here in Athens.
Athens,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the thing that I've tried to do, and it just goes to my heart as a teacher, as kind of an educator, is that I've tried to educate people about solar. I mean, obviously, doing these clean energy road shows, doing these lunch and learns, and whether it's a Twitter town hall on solar, it's been just one continual effort to try to help people learn a little bit more about it. I mean, down to something as simple as the difference between PV and solar thermal that we talk about on this show, and obviously casting votes on the PSC to advance solar and have more megawatts. That's been, you know, I've been just a part of that, and obviously advocating on behalf of solar when they've asked me to help them when there's been like demand charges imposed by different cities. And I've had to, you know, either call those mayors or write those city council members and basically say, look, this is a mistake, you know, for you to penalize solar. And I guess John and Dr. Tidwell, the thing that I've tried to do is when I got to the commission, I felt like...
You have 10 seconds.
Utilities were a bit hostile towards solar. And I've tried to change that.
You have done a fine job of that.
So, Tim, where can our listening audience go to find data on how this change in solar adoption has been recorded and measured?
I mean, it is all over the internet. I think you can Google the word Georgia, the word solar. You can stick my name in there, and there's going to be a lot of information. But there are a lot of experts who have kind of held my hand and helped move me along. Don Moreland and Russ Seifert, Allie Kelly, Mark Bell, Ryan Sanders, John Gornall,
and people.
You know, James Marlowe was one of the first. And so you can kind of see what they say. It's hard as a politician not to talk about yourself and not to tweet about yourself, though the Bible does say, let others praise you, not your own lips. My wife reminds me that I don't need to be tooting my own horn.
She sounds like a good lady.
Yeah, so just let me leave it at that.
All right, that's my turn. Here's my problem with the power companies. I feel like they make too much money. How do people find out how much money the power companies are making every year off of us?
Yeah, and these power companies, you know, they do make a profit, and we set that profit. That return on equity is called, and Georgia Power gets a high percentage. They do. Compared to other states, they are a couple of points above a lot of other states.
Where does those rank?
States.
And so
you can go to georgiapower.com /company, and under that About Us tab, you can kind of look at their facts and financials and see that. And I know that there are some folks that actually buy a share of the Southern Company, and they go to their annual meeting, which they hold at Callaway Gardens once a year, and they do resolutions and motions, and they're able to see some things. It's kind of like being an intervener at the commission in a case. If you're an intervener, you get to see the trade secret documents,
mm-hmm.
And you have to sign a non-disclosure. So there's a lot of stuff out there, and most Wall Street firms, they write a quarterly report about Southern Company, so that's another good source.
Mm. How much of the profit is going into renewable energy, and how much is being invested back. So often we have, you know, sustainable energy for communities that is underfunded with big renewable energy projects. Where is that allocation coming from and going to?
Every 3 years, we do one of these things called an IRP, and we've talked about it on the show, Integrated Resource
Just
Plan.
Just got through with one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and we certify a certain amount of solar, and it includes both power purchase agreements, and most of Georgia Solar is being bought back by the power company. It's not owned by the power company. They are simply buying it from a developer. And then there are self-build projects, like all the military projects that we have. Those are owned by Georgia Power. The 80 megawatts of batteries that we just approved will be owned by Georgia Power. All the community solar projects that Georgia Power markets to folks at georgiapower.com/solar, those are also owned by the power company. So, you know, we approve them, you know, getting self-build projects and PPAs, and then that ROE, that return on equity I mentioned, we also set that. And the thing is, if they don't build it, if they're leasing the power, so to speak, then the law, Georgia law, allows them to receive an additional sum or essentially profit off of that. And that's really set, you know, in this Integrated Resource Act that was done in 1991.
How do electric car chargers work into that? Because that's a transportation infrastructure thing, and that benefits all communities everywhere.
And the Georgia Power spent about $8 million worth of their own money. I actually tried to get it paid for by ratepayers because I felt like it was in the public interest. At the time, though, in 2013, mm-hmm. my fellow commissioners did not feel like it
should
be paid
for. That was really early in 2013. I could see that would be a fight.
But yeah. I do feel like as we come up in the future that, you know, that with one of the other commissioners driving an electric car, me being a proponent, mm-hmm. I feel like that the commissioners are going to approve more and more infrastructure.
All right, that's good. And then what about our nuke plant? I mean, are we writing what's going on with that, or is that going to profit for them? What's this business here?
Well, it is going to become about 20% of their company. So it is a huge part of it. They did a write down of about $700 million, not quite $700 million. You know, Toshiba, that company that owned Westinghouse, they had written down $5 billion on both the Georgia and South Carolina plants. So the plants are expensive, but a chunk of the money has actually been written off.
Meaning they will not be able to recover from us, the ratepayers.
Yeah, so okay. Toshiba, of course, wrote down the $5 billion, and then they paid a penalty to Georgia and South Carolina for canceling, essentially, or bankrupting Westinghouse. So
right.
I think, you know, as we move along, that the $10.5 billion that we approved for Georgia Power to get on the Vogtle plant will stick. I don't think we'll give them anything in addition.
Burp.
So speaking about money, Tim, I've got a question for you that I know a lot of people are curious about. Is there a resource where we can find out all of the information we discussed today? Like, can we put it on our monthly bill? And why isn't that information on the bill? Things like that.
True.
You know, there is... The bills are transparent, not as transparent as, say, the German bills, where they list every single thing as a surcharge. I mean, a lot's baked into your base rates, but we do break out the environmental charges and we break out the nuclear power charges. We do try to be transparent on that. If there's ever a refund given, we show that as a separate item.
But somehow they break out the environmental recovery charge. They
yes.
want us to know just how much they spend on protecting the environment.
I don't know that that's the reason that they did that. I think it's more
sure
of a
is.
more of an accounting thing. I mean, when we were doing all this environmental stuff, mainly the scrubbers on the coal plants.
Yeah,
you know, those weren't forever expenses, and so it's not. I mean, once things get into rates, they pretty much stay there.
Mm.
But on an environmental charge, we will have that, but we've got to re-up on that, or it would just go to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of a three-year temporary charge.
So, Tim, you know that I have strong ties to the nuclear power industry. And I do know, though, balancing family and friends, a lot of my friends are kind of curious about this whole Vogtle issue. And the question is, can we opt out of paying for Vogtle?
You know, we've had school systems and others want to opt out, and we just haven't given anybody.
Me, I want to opt out.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't pick and choose, you know, what you pay for and what you don't. We can't run a grid. We can't build a 60, 80-year asset with people, you know, wanting to opt out of it.
I wish we could opt in.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
I like clean power.
So, I don't anticipate folks being able to opt out. The only thing they can opt out of is a smart meter, and they can have a digital meter put on their house if they have a concern. It's an additional $19.95 a month for that.
Georgia Power's has, in my opinion, Georgia Power's failure has been to inadequately build PV on time, let alone plant Vogtle on time. I wouldn't trust them any farther than I can throw them. How do you continue to, why do you continue to trust them and think that they're competent at this stuff?
I find them, you know, honest. And, you know, as long as a person's being honest with me, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
Once they start lying to me or deceiving me, and John, you were a legislator and you had people lobby you, and you probably had a similar philosophy, right? Tell me the truth and we're good.
But that's right.
Start lying to me and then you're not even going to get in my office.
Yeah.
And I find that, you know, that the company does operate, you know, with a lot of integrity.
Mm. All right. Any other questions you can think of? I mean, I'd love to just keep going on down the road here.
Well, why don't we wrap up this show, John, as we've thought about the Georgia Environmental Conference.
When the questions get tough, you gotta wrap it up.
And I'll sit for questions another time as well.
I know.
But maybe we can grill you sometime, John.
Oh, I'm... Jackie, you're not invited.
Well, thanks, Dr. Tidwell, for being with us today.
Lovely to be here.
Thanks for all your work. John, as always,
thanks, sir,
for being the co-host. I'm Tim Eccles. You've been listening to Energy Matters. We hope you'll join us each week as we talk about sustainability, technology, and how to help you save money on your energy bill. Enjoy your weekend.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make. Like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.